Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Big Blurred Cast. I'm Hank Bird, your host. Today's subject today, or today's title, is going to be Jose, Jealous One Still Envy. Now, that's based off a classic Fat Joe album, if you're a hip-hop head like me, but it also brings up a point where we're talking about entertainers, and we're talking about the issue of jealousy, and we're talking about, you know, people going in at each other in social media, radio, television, and whatnot. So when does criticism in your peer group start to look like you're hating a little bit? When does criticism start to look like jealousy in competition? Do we really know what that means? Do we really know what the definition of competition is? You know, the big thing that I want people to understand is that we're all human beings. If I can indulge my nerd shit just for a little bit, there are almost 8 billion people on this planet. We're all carbon-based life forms. We breathe the same air, you know, and besides, you know, culture, religion, race, socioeconomics, geography aside, we're basic human beings. Meaning that ain't really shit special about us. Of course, there are going to be those little things about us mentally and physically that are going to set us apart from other people. But we're on a whole ass planet. And there's enough room on this whole ass planet that we live on not to relegate ourselves to one lane and not to relegate ourselves to somebody else's lane. Over the weekend, I watched an interview, and like many of you did, with Cat Williams. Cat Williams was on there supporting Red Grant, another fellow comedian of his and a friend. And he made mention of Tiffany Haddish, Lil Rel, Gerard Carmichael, and other comedians in a way that I found a little interesting. He really seemed to take issue with Tiffany Haddish, which I know he knows her background. I mean, she started doing comedy at the age of 16. She was doing stand-up comedy in comedy clubs around L.A. and other places. You know, she had some small movie roles and whatnot. But let's understand, Tiffany started at 16. She's almost 40. She just now is getting her quote-unquote break in the last 5 years, starting with her breakout appearance on Arsenio Hall show, in the skit "So I Married a Black Chick," which really set her out. And then she did her own stand up there at the show. And so what Kat was saying, and it's not that I disagree with him, really, is that he made mention that Tiffany, for all she's done as far as her age and for all she's done in her career, she really hasn't amassed the ability to do a tour as a comic. Okay, so she's not a touring comic. And then he posed the question, name a Tiffany Haddish joke. Again, I understand what he's saying. But if I were sitting there, I would pose a question to Kat. Name me a Jim Carrey joke. Name me a Robin Williams joke. I don't really remember a Damon Wayans joke. I don't remember an Adam Sandler joke. But these are all guys who went on to do film and TV. And guys that I've been a fan of. I like Jim Carrey movies. I like Robin Williams. Robin Williams was one of the greatest actors out there, comedy and drama. But I don't really remember any of his stand-up jokes. So, because he wasn't a touring comic, was he less deserving? And then he made mention that she passed over 46 other comedians that he knew, who he felt was funnier. And he could be right. You know, he named Miss Laura and and Melanie Camacho, ladies that I find extremely funny. You know, lady, I'm sure Monique Samora, there's other, a lot of female comics out there that I would definitely not argue that are funnier than Tiffany, and I'm sure have held their own on tours and have done a lot in comedy over the years. But this is where I have to, you know, think about this. This is where it comes in. When does the criticism of your peer group start to look like you hate? Okay, so you're saying that she passed up 46 other comedians that you personally knew or know to get Girls Trip and other films that she's gotten, the Carmichael Show and everything else that she's gotten in the interim. But when did that become her fault? When did that become her fault that these other comedians aren't where she is? Because the last time I checked, I don't think she's stopping anybody's bag. Right? Is she personally overseeing or blocking the career of these other 46 women that you are mentioning? When did it become her fault that they're not getting anywhere? And I'll add to that, because I listen to what you say, brother. I listen to what you said. You mentioned that the Pimp Chronicles alone, because of your Atlanta appearance, which was great, and you deserve that Emmy, brother. You deserve the Emmy. I love it. Gator Man, that was classic. I laughed my ass off. I thought that showed that you had range as an actor, and it shows that, you know, you definitely have a fan base out there still, and you definitely resonated with the fans of not only Atlanta, but the critics. And you deserve the Emmy that you got. But I digress. You said that because of your Atlanta appearance alone, the Pimp Chronicles passed $24 million. Okay. So again, if I was sitting there and you're saying that you have 46 other comedians, female comedians that you're saying that are funnier and deserve their shot, why don't you take 1, 2, 3 million of that 24 and take a page from the Adam Sandler and the Wayans Brother playbook? Why don't you create content for you and your friends? What you think Adam Sandler's been doing all these years? Why do you see the same people in his movies every time? Huh? When you watch a Seth Rogen movie, why do you see the same people in his movie every time? The Wayans brothers, that's a family affair. They all work together. Cousins, uncles, brothers, nieces, nephews, everybody. They create vehicles so they all can eat. So if you feel like these 46 other women or the women that you took on tour with you are not getting their just due, brother, if you have the means to change that, then do it. Let me tell you something. I'm a filmmaker, and I watch films all the time, and I read scripts all the time that have been produced, and I'm like, who put that on? Who allowed that to be made? Who the hell did he know or she knew that slept with somebody, that knew somebody, that put that on? That's trash. Right? But it's not my job to do that. It doesn't become my job to do that. Because I can be critical of the things that I see, but then I have to walk a line and not look like I'm jealous or hating, because I'm not. I just think it's trash. But at the same time, I think about one of my favorite quotes from Gandhi. Be the change you want to see in the world. I got tired of seeing certain things in film. I got tired of seeing certain roles for black people. I got tired of seeing certain roles for black women. So I started writing other things. I'm doing a web series now about black nerds because I got tired of seeing us as caricatures in TV shows. Steve Urkel, while funny, is not the golden standard for black nerds. Right? In competition, I'm a highly competitive dude. But the person I compete with the most is me. I compete with the dude I was in 98, the dude I was in 2008, the dude I'm now in 2018. I compete with that person more than anybody else. And out of competition, I've always learned the main thing about competition, man, is as a former athlete and as a former soldier and as a person of worth in corporate America, is that competition should bring out the best in you, not the worst. My competition with you should make me rise to the occasion. I should step my game up, right? That's what we always said back in the day. Step your game up. You don't like what she's doing or what he's doing or what he's saying or what he's rapping or what he's singing or what types of films he's making or what type of television shows she's making. Step your game up. Make sure that when you write your raps or when you write your songs or when you're acting in your films or when you're creating your content, you're not doing what that you don't like or what you don't like seeing. Right? So again, when is that criticism that we put out there start to look like hate? And the big thing is, man, when I look at somebody's career, and I'm talking about me, when I'm looking at somebody's career, and I'll get back to Cat and other comics that I hear do this shit, but when I look at somebody else's career, and I feel like, yo, I don't personally feel like that person has the talent, or that person writes better than me, or I feel like I write better than them, or I feel like I'm a better filmmaker than that person, and I do have those thoughts. But again, I don't begrudge anybody's blessings. And that's another thing. I can't sit there and say, I don't feel like you deserve what you have because I don't have it, or this other person that I know doesn't have it. I don't feel like you deserve what you have. Especially when I know that you put the work in to get there. You might not have put the same work this other person did, but you put in work and you network and you did what you had to do to get where you are. And it might not have been your playbook and it might not have been the way you wanted to do it. But I can't begrudge somebody's blessing. If they met the right person at the right party, or ran into the right person at the supermarket, or you know, was in the right Facebook group at the right time and met the right person, who am I to judge that? Who am I to say that that person doesn't deserve what they got? So I had to learn that. And the thing is, because when you do that shit, you're saying to God, or you're saying to the universe, that you're not deserving of what you have. Because I'm too busy trying to begrudge what the next man has. I'm too busy trying to talk about what the next man has instead of focusing on how I can make me and my situation better. And I'm not saying that you should be content with where you are. But I'm also saying that you sitting around begrudging somebody else's success is detrimental. And it looks bad. And I've seen people do it, man. Rappers and singers and actors and other people get on social media and get on TV and get on the radio and, number one, be damned the reason that you're even on the radio and social media and everything else. You're there to promote your shit. I remember when Mike Epps and Kevin Hart were going at it. Mike went on the radio and wasted 30 minutes of your own airtime talking about Kevin Hart, how he ain't funny and how people are funnier than him and how he really not even talking about what you're working on. No, Kevin got there because he worked hard, man. And he might not be funny to everybody. I've seen all of his comedy specials. Some were funny, some were in, some were okay. And so I can agree with the criticism. I dig the criticism. Don't if I say anything in here, don't mistake that. Don't mistake that there's not room for criticism. Everybody has room for criticism. I'm an artist. Everybody has room for criticism. Everybody can get it when it comes to criticism. It's warranted. It's warranted. Always. And criticism, and if you're an artist, criticism, again, should make you better, not bitter. Criticism always warranted. You should always be able to take constructive criticism, even criticism that doesn't come across so nice sometimes. It's warranted. It's okay. But coming from your peers, that's a different story. And while we as peers in film and in comedy and TV or whatever lane that we're in, we have to understand something. There's a line there. There's a fine line there. Because I can believe that something that you made may not be your best. But it's my job as your peer to tell you that, not the world. If we're peers in film and we're peers in making TV shows, if we're peers in writing scripts, if you show me your script and I don't think it's your best work, I'll give you notes. I won't get on the radio and say, oh man, this script, that shit was trash. Oh my God, don't read that script. It's the worst script I've ever read in my life. See, now your criticism, you went from critic to asshole. Don't be that guy. Oh, girl. I can be critical of what you've done. I can be critical of your work as a fellow artist. I can be critical of your work as a fan. But we're talking about fellow artists. We're talking about peers here. And when does that criticism start to look like you hating a little bit? Because you can go on and say, hey, man, I don't feel that he's as funny as I am. And here's why. And here's maybe something that you might want to do in your comedy or whatever. Whatever you got to say. But say that to your peer. What does the world have to know this for? You know what I'm saying? People have come to me and told me about my work. They've inboxed me. They've called me. They've said, hey, man, I watched your thing. I thought it was okay. You know, I think it looked kind of funny. You know, it didn't sound as great as it should have. You know, you should have done this. You should have done that. You know, some of the dialogue here didn't work. You know, kind of fell flat. The joke didn't work over here, whatever. And I appreciated that. I appreciated every time somebody did that to me. I appreciated it. I never got mad. I never got bitter. I never got beside myself about any of that shit. Now, if you would have gone on the radio and done that to me, we would have had a problem. Because I'd be like, nigga, you could have came to me with that shit. Now you kind of look like you hating because you do what I do. And I don't know if this makes sense to people. Because people seem to make an excuse for this. Oh, that's just the way people are. That's just the way it is. People are just that way. When I asked about it on Facebook, people had different answers. You know, they said that, you know, it comes from slave mentality, that, you know, a lot of people have a crab in the barrel mentality, that we have this this conditioning that has gone on for hundreds of years that has led us to hate one another or to be overly critical of one another. And we can make those arguments. And I'm not going to get that deep with that. Not this episode. We'll have that discussion. But another thing that I see, especially when we're talking about music and we're talking about hip hop to be exact, is that the criticism inevitably, I know I fucked that word up, generally spills over into, and it morphs into stuff that we don't need to see. Yeah, I'm going to talk about the Cardi B and Nicki thing. It's sad. I get it. I get it. There's both camps. I get it. Some people say, you know, she lightweight took a dig at her kid, and you know, you don't talk about nobody's kid and all this stuff. Some people say she didn't say anything about her kid and all that. Either way, you know, there's some animosity and some jealousy there between two women. Two women in hip hop. Two black women in hip hop. And before you hoteps get started, Cardi B is Trini and Dominican. Okay? Shut up. She's black. Okay, so before we even go there, for you dusty hoteps even get in my inbox with the dumb shit, she's a black woman. But I digress. And I go back to my original statement. We're on a whole ass planet. Hip hop is a global phenomenon. And I know what you're saying. I already know there's only room at the top for one. There can only be one, like with fucking Highlander or something. There can only be one. Really? On a planet of almost 8 billion people, there's only room enough for two women in hip hop? Are you fucking serious? There's only room enough for two men in hip hop? There's only room enough for two of anything anywhere? Is this a planet Earth or Noah's Ark? Let me know. Stop it. You got two different styles. You don't look the same. You don't really rap about the same things. There's room enough for both of you, but the world is telling you, I guess, like everybody says, either the mentality, the crab in the barrel, the conditioning, or whatever says that I can't coexist with you in the same genre. Even though we're in two different lanes, I can't coexist with you. It's silly. And the shit is spilling over into the streets, y'all. People are getting killed out there because of envy and jealousy and pettiness in social media. Somebody can say something in social media and they'll be dead. Somebody can get on a radio show and say the wrong thing about another artist and they take that so personally. They're hurt so deeply that their only recourse is death. You can't even be critical about somebody, honestly critical about somebody, without running the risk of being hurt or worse. We have to look at that. No more that, oh, that's just the way it is. That's just how people are. It's the nature of the business. Blah, blah. Nah, it's not. I'm 46, man. I was around when hip hop started. There wasn't nobody out there doing that. Kool Herc wasn't busting caps at Grandmaster Flash. Force MDs weren't out there trying to fight the Furious Five. It, It wasn't like that. And if they had beef, they put it on wax. And nobody was on the radio bashing anybody. Hell, it was enough. It was just a feat to get on the radio. Now everybody's on the radio. And nobody's promoting themselves. They're taking the time to diss and talk about other people. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So no, it's not a little thing. Because we have to look at the change you want to see in the world, man. There are so many cats that I don't think should be behind a camera. A digital camera, a viewfinder, a Super 8, anything. A VHS recorder. These shouldn't be directing shit, but they are. And who am I to begrudge their success? Who am I to do that? If I'm in my lane trying to do my thing to better me and mine, I don't have time for that. I can be critical. I have that right. As not only a fan of film, a fan of music, a fan of comedy, I can be critical. But my criticism should make me an asshole. Especially if I'm talking about a peer. So, and I'm not picking on Cat because I'm a fan. I'm a huge Cat Williams fan. Hands down. Pimp Chronicles, one of my favorite stand-ups ever. Cried laughing. Bust a gut laughing. We'll watch it anytime I see it. I think he's a phenomenal comedian. So I'm not a Cat Williams hater. I don't hate Cat Williams. I don't even hate the interview because he dropped some jewels in that interview. If you watch that interview, he really put down some jewels. I just had an issue with the what seemed to be a little hate there. Again, I understand what he was saying. I understand that there are 40-something comedians, female, that he felt should have the same success that Tiffany has. I get it. I know filmmakers and actors and singers. I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I know singers right now that I feel can compete on the national stage, that I feel could have a top 10 album out right now, that I feel should be acting in TV shows and movies and everything else. I get it. And I've watched them for years. And I think they're some of the most talented people on the planet. And I think that there are people who, because of social media, they got it too easy. Yeah, I said it. And we all think it. There's some rappers out there that they don't got no business behind the mic. But I can't begrudge their success. I can't. I can wish better for my friends. And in any little way that I can help them, I will. But I can't begrudge somebody else's success. Because what does that make me? Am I keeping it real? Nah. I can't take that attitude. And if I'm in a position as a Cat Williams, again, if you made $24 million off the Pimp Chronicles alone, just off that appearance alone, it took your comedy special over $24 million or whatever else, got you some money, man. Hey, bro, you are in a position to create content. You're Cat fucking Williams, man. You're in a position to create content. You're in a position to make films. You're in a position to make web series. You're in a position to have podcasts and all these things that can be vehicles for other comics. And comics, I'm not dragging you into anything, but I'm on IG and I see other people on IG. I see Kevin, Hart. I see Kev on stage. I see Ida Rodriguez, who I admire the hell out of, because that lady has taken her platform and turned it into something just amazing. I love it. Amanda Seales, LeVar Walker, Tony Baker. I look at all these people who have shows and who have podcasts and who have used their platform to do better for themselves. And they're not sitting around complaining about what the next woman or man has. They're just using their platform to do better. Jess Hilarious. A lot of women, oh, she ain't funny. She ain't this, she ain't that. But yo, she rode her moment. And she rolled that into a TV show. And she rolled that. She's going to ride that into films. And she's going to ride that in whatever. And you might not like it. You might not like the fact that she made what she's made, where she's made it. But I put it to you, brother, sister, step your game up. Again, you can be critical. But in your criticism, what are you doing to better yourself and your position? So you have to look at that. You have to ask yourself, when you have those feelings, what is the root of that feeling? What is the root of that feeling? When does your criticism in your peer group start to look like you're hating a little bit? Because it's funny that nobody says anything about these comics until they reach a certain level. And it comes with the territories. I know, I hear it all the time. Hank, you know what happens, man, when you reach the top, you always gonna have haters, you always gonna have these people talking about you and all that stuff. And it's sad, you know, that's true. And it's also sad that you don't really have anything to say about me until you think that I'm surpassing you. And you have to look at, and you also, like I said, in your criticism, you have to look at, is my criticism kind of meandering over into jealousy and envy? Because you can come up with all the conspiracy theories you want about a lot of these rappers that come up dead. But at the root of a lot of that shit is jealousy and envy. A lot of these brothers come from hoods, man, that, you know, most of us wouldn't even go into. And they made it. And they drive around nice cars, they wear jewelry, and you know, they looking good, the women are liking them, the guys want to be them. And you got the cats that are still back on the stoop watching them with envious eyes, thinking that I'm better than this dude. I rap better than this guy. And he made it past me. And that does something to people. And that's why I say you got to check yourself. You can't just say it's nothing or it's just a little thing. It's not. Because brothers is coming up dead. Because people are casting envious eyes on somebody else's success. And then you start to look at your own life and you start to hate your life and you start to hate yourself. And then you turn that hate outward and you start to hate that person that you feel is the antithesis of your failure. And some people really rationalize in their mind, if I take this person out, I'll feel better about myself. And I'm not saying comedians are going to be out there killing each other. God forbid. But it's getting to a point where the comedy ain't funny no more. It's to the point where the shit used to be. I know a lot of comedians. And this isn't new. I know this. I know these feelings between comedians is not new. It's never been new. Never. It's always been little digs and little strife between comedians. Little, you know, joke stealing and people thinking they not funny and all that shit. That's not new. That's never been new. But that was kept between peers. All that was usually kept between peers. Nobody was on the radio with that shit. Nobody was on, wasn't no grown ass man spilling tea on the radio. That was kept between peers. And so, like I said, I put that out to any artist. Like I said, if you have a criticism of your peer, man, go to your peer, man. If you got a criticism of me, come to me, man. Now, I don't want to hear about it on the radio and in social media and anything else. If you got a problem with my work, come to me. Give me your thoughts, man. I'm an open-minded person. I'm not closed-minded. Anybody that's worked with me on a project knows I'm very open-minded. I listen to everything, and I'll take suggestions, and I take criticism very well. But what I don't take well is fuck shit. So if you're on the radio doing fuck shit or in the social media doing stuff like that, then we're going to have a problem. And then I'm going to question the root of what it is you're saying. And I'm not going to look at what you're saying as criticism. I'm going to look at you hating a little bit. Because for you to take something personal, which is people's art and people's livelihood, and make it a personal dig, that's something in that. There's something in that. Whether it's true or not, never question the validity of what the cat said. I never questioned the validity of what Mike Epps said. I didn't say he wasn't right. I didn't say he was wrong. But what I'm saying is, in your peer group, if you have a problem with somebody in your peer group, go to that person. Because there's something in you that you got to work out. And there's something in you that you and that other person need to work out. There's a whole bunch of people that I feel ain't funny. There's a whole bunch of people that I feel don't write that well. There's a whole bunch of people that I feel don't act that well. But for me to get on the radio and to get on TV and get anywhere else in the public platform and speak on that, there's something in me. There's something in me that I have to question. There's something in me that I gotta look at. There's something deeper there. And so we just can't keep saying it ain't nothing. And we as black entertainers, we doing this shit a lot. Ain't nobody, you ain't seeing Adam Carolla saying I'm funnier than Jim Gaffigan. You're not hearing that. And he could very well be in his apartment, his house, saying that shit right now. But he ain't on social media doing it. He ain't on the radio doing that. They probably had the discussion. Hell, they might have had a fist fight. And I could just imagine Jim Gaffigan and Adam Carolla having a fight. That's some funny shit to me. It's funny to me. But it's not spilling over into the streets. So we got to look at this thing. We got to look at this thing in every lane that we're in, whether we're doing comedy, whether we're doing music, whether we're doing acting or singing, whatever it is that we're doing. And we're looking at each other. When does that criticism in your peer group look like you hating? When does that criticism start to look like jealousy? And what form of that jealousy is it taking? To where you feel like you're entitled to say something publicly about how you feel somebody came about their success, or how you feel entitled to begrudge somebody else's success. And you could very well be right. But is that for public consumption? We have to learn to appreciate where we are. Artists. I'm talking to artists. We have to learn to appreciate where we are in life. No matter where that is. A lot of us every day are getting up working 9-to-5 jobs. A lot of us have had a little modicum of success in our lives. And it was maybe fleeting. And it's probably gone. Along with the money that came with it. But we have to appreciate what we have and where we are. But like I said, I don't know what you subscribe to as far as your faith. I don't know what you subscribe to as far as your, you know, as far as religion or whatever. But for me, you know, I can't begrudge where I am in my life, because me saying that to God says that I don't appreciate my life and that I would rather talk about somebody else's success than to try to use the talents that God gave me to create my own and give him the honor in that. And I'm not telling you what to believe. That's just me. I try to show love to everybody. And again, I don't think I'm the best anything. I think I do okay as a writer. I do okay as a filmmaker. And I have a lot to learn. I have a lot. I have a long way to go to be where it is that I want to ultimately want to be as a filmmaker and as a screenwriter. And when I get there, I probably still want to do better. And so I'll be too busy doing that to sit around and begrudge somebody else's success. Again, I have those feelings. I have those criticisms. But I walk that line. And I'm competitive. I get out there and compete every day. But competition should bring out the best in you, not the worst. All right? Everyone, be good to one another. And I'll talk to you next time. Make sure you share this with your friends. And if you got any questions or criticisms of me and this podcast, hey, hit me up and we'll talk about it. Until next time, stay blurty, my friends. Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Big Blurred Cast. I'm Hank Bird, your host. Today's subject today, or today's title, is going to be Jose. Jealous one still envy. Now, that's based off a classic Fat Joe album, if you're a hip-hop head like me, but it also brings up a point where we're talking about entertainers, and we're talking about the issue of jealousy, and we're talking about, you know, people going in at each other in social media, radio, television, and whatnot. So when does criticism in your peer group start to look like you're hating a little bit? When does criticism start to look like jealousy in competition? Do we really know what that means? Do we really know what the definition of competition is? You know, the big thing that I want people to understand is that we're all human beings. If I can indulge my nerd shit just for a little bit, there are almost 8 billion people on this planet. We're all carbon-based life forms. We breathe the same air, you know, and besides, you know, culture, religion, race, socioeconomics, geography aside, we're basic human beings, meaning that ain't really shit special about us. Of course, there are going to be those little things about us mentally and physically that are going to set us apart from other people, but we're on a whole ass planet. And there's enough room on this whole ass planet that we live on not to relegate ourselves to one lane and not to relegate ourselves to somebody else's lane. Over the weekend, I watched an interview, and like many of you did, with Cat Williams. Cat Williams was on there supporting Red Grant, another fellow comedian of his and a friend. And he made mention of Tiffany Haddish, Lil Rel, Gerard Carmichael, and other comedians in a way that I found a little interesting. He really seemed to take issue with Tiffany Haddish, which I know he knows her background. I mean, she started doing comedy at the age of 16. She was doing stand-up comedy in comedy clubs around L.A. and other places. You know, she had some small movie roles and whatnot. But let's understand, Tiffany started at 16. She's almost 40. She just now is getting her quote unquote break in the last 5 years, starting with her breakout appearance on Arsenio Hall show. in the skit, "So I Married a Black Chick," which really set her out. And then she did her own stand up there at the show. And so what Kat was saying, and it's not that I don't that I disagree with him, really, is that he made mention that Tiffany, for all, you know, for all she's done as far as her age and for all she's done in her career, she really hasn't amassed the ability to do a tour as a comic. Okay, so she's not a touring comic. And then he posed the question, name a Tiffany Haddish joke. Again, I understand what he's saying. But if I were sitting there, I would pose a question to Kat. Name me a Jim Carrey joke. Name me a Robin Williams joke. I don't really remember a Damon Wayans joke. I don't remember an Adam Sandler joke. But these are all guys who went on to do film and TV. And guys that I've been a fan of. I like Jim Carrey movies. I like Robin Williams. Robin Williams was one of the greatest actors out there, comedy and drama. But I don't really remember any of his stand-up jokes. So, because he wasn't a touring comic, was he less deserving? And then he made mention that she passed over 46 other comedians that he knew, who he felt was funnier. And he could be right. You know, he named Miss Laura and Melanie Camacho, ladies that I find extremely funny. You know, lady, I'm sure Monique Samora, there's a lot of female comics out there that I would definitely not argue that are funnier than Tiffany. And I'm sure have held their own on tours and have done a lot in comedy over the years. But this is where I have to, you know, think about this. This is where it comes in. When does the criticism of your peer group start to look like you hate? Okay, so you're saying that she passed up 46 other comedians that you personally knew. Or no, to get Girls Trip and other films that she's gotten, the Carmichael Show and everything else that she's gotten in the interim. But when did that become her fault? When did that become her fault that these other comedians aren't where she is? Because the last time I checked, I don't think she's stopping anybody's bag. Right? Is she personally overseeing or blocking the career of these other 46 women that you are mentioning? When did it become her fault that they're not getting anywhere? And I'll add to that, because I listened to what you say, brother. I listened to what you said. You mentioned that the Pimp Chronicles alone, because of your Atlanta appearance, which was great, and you deserve that Emmy, brother. You deserve the Emmy. I love it. Gator Man, that was classic. I laughed my ass off. I thought that showed that you had range as an actor, and it shows that, you know, you definitely have a fan base out there still, and you definitely resonated with the fans of not only Atlanta, but the critics. And you deserve the Emmy that you got. But I digress. You said that because of your Atlanta appearance alone, the Pimp Chronicles passed $24 million. Okay. So again, if I was sitting there and you're saying that you have 46 other comedians, female comedians that you're saying that are funnier and deserve their shot, why don't you take 1, 2, 3 million of that 24 and take a page from the Adam Sandler and the Wayans brother playbook? Why don't you create content for you and your friends? What you think Adam Sandler's been doing all these years? Why do you see the same people in his movies every time? Huh? When you watch a Seth Rogen movie, why do you see the same people in his movie every time? The Wayans brothers, that's a family affair. They all work together. Cousins, uncles, brothers, nieces, nephews, everybody. They create vehicles so they all can eat. So if you feel like these 46 other women or the women that you took on tour with you are not getting their just due, brother, if you have the means to change that, then do it. Let me tell you something. I'm a filmmaker. And I watch films all the time and I read scripts all the time that have been produced. And I'm like, who put that on? Who allowed that to be made? Who the hell did he know or she knew that slept with somebody that knew somebody that put that on? That's trash. Right? But it's not my job to do that. It's not, it doesn't become my job to do that. Because I can be critical of the things that I see, but then I have to walk a line and not look like I'm jealous or hating, because I'm not. I just think it's trash. But at the same time, I think about one of my favorite quotes from Gandhi. Be the change you want to see in the world. I got tired of seeing certain things in film. I got tired of seeing certain roles for black people. I got tired of seeing certain roles for black women. So I started writing other things. I'm doing a web series now about black nerds because I got tired of seeing us as caricatures in TV shows. Steve Urkel, while funny, is not the golden standard for black nerds. Right? In competition, I'm a highly competitive dude. But the person I compete with the most is me. I compete with the dude I was in 98, the dude I was in 2008, the dude I'm now in 2018. I compete with that person more than anybody else. And out of competition, I've always learned the main thing about competition, man, is as a former athlete and as a former soldier and as a person of worth in corporate America, is that competition should bring out the best in you, not the worst. My competition with you should make me rise to the occasion. I should step my game up, right? That's what we always said back in the day. Step your game up. You don't like what she's doing or what he's doing or what he's saying or what he's rapping or what he's singing or what types of films he's making or what type of television shows she's making. Step your game up. Make sure that when you write your raps or when you write your songs or when you acting in your films or when you're creating your content, you're not doing what that you don't like or what you don't like seeing. Right? So again, when is that criticism that we put out there start to look like hate? And the big thing is, man, when I look at somebody's career, and I'm talking about me, when I'm looking at somebody's career, and I'll get back to Kat and other comics that I hear do this shit, but when I look at somebody else's career and I feel like, yo, I don't personally feel like that person has the talent or that person writes better than me, or I feel like I write better than them, or I feel like I'm a better filmmaker than that person. And I do have those thoughts. But again, I don't begrudge anybody's blessings. And that's another thing. I can't sit there and say I don't feel like you deserve what you have because I don't have it, or this other person that I know doesn't have it. I don't feel like you deserve what you have. especially when I know that you put the work in to get there. You might not have put the same work this other person did, but you put in work and you put and you network and you did what you had to do to get where you are. And it might not have been your playbook and it might not have been the way you wanted to do it. But I can't begrudge somebody's blessing. If, hey, man, if they met the right person at the right party or ran into the right person at the supermarket or, you know, was in the right Facebook group at the right time and met the right person, who am I to judge that? Who am I to say that that person doesn't deserve what they got? So I had to learn that. And the thing is, because when you do that shit, you're saying to whatever you believe, you're saying to God or you're saying to the universe that you're not deserving of what you have. Because I'm too busy trying to begrudge what the next man has. I'm too busy trying to talk about what the next man has instead of focusing on how I can make me and my situation better. And I'm not saying you should be content with where you are. But I'm also saying that you sitting around begrudging somebody else's success is detrimental. And it looks bad. And I've seen people do it, man. Rappers and singers and actors and other people get on social media and get on TV and get on the radio. And number one, be damned the reason that you're even on the radio and social media and everything else. You're there to promote your shit. I remember when Mike Epps and Kevin Hart were going at it. Mike went on the radio and wasted 30 minutes of your own airtime talking about Kevin Hart. How he ain't funny and how people are funnier than him and how he really not even talking about what you're working on. No, Kevin got there because he worked hard, man. And he might not be funny to everybody. I've seen all of his comedy specials. Some were funny, some were in, some were okay. And so I can agree with the criticism. I dig the criticism. Don't if I say anything in here, don't mistake that. Don't mistake that there's not room for criticism. Everybody has room for criticism. I'm an artist. Everybody has room for criticism. Everybody can get it when it comes to criticism. It's warranted. It's warranted. Always. And criticism, and if you're an artist, criticism, again, should make you better, not bitter. Criticism always warranted. You should always be able to take constructive criticism, even criticism that doesn't come across so nice sometimes, it's warranted. It's okay. But coming from your peers, that's a different story. And while we as peers in film and in comedy and TV or whatever lane that we're in, we have to understand something. There's a line there. There's a fine line there. Because I can believe that something that you made may not be your best, but it's my job as your peer to tell you that, not the world. If we're peers in film and we're peers in making TV shows, if we're peers in writing scripts, if you show me your script and I don't think it's your best work, I'll give you notes. I won't get on the radio and say, oh man, this script, that shit was trash. Oh my God, don't read that script. It's the worst script I've ever read in my life. See, now your criticism, you went from critic to asshole. Don't be that guy. Oh, girl. I can be critical of what you've done. I can be critical of your work as a fellow artist. I can be critical of your work as a fan. But we're talking about fellow artists. We're talking about peers here. And when does that criticism start to look like you hating a little bit? Because you can go on and say, hey, man, I don't feel that he's as funny as I am. And here's why. And here's maybe something that you might want to do in your comedy or whatever. Whatever you got to say. But say that to your peer. What does the world have to know this for? You know what I'm saying? People have come to me and told me about my work. They've inboxed me. They've called me. They've said, hey, man, I watched your thing. I thought it was okay. You know, I think it looked kind of funny. You know, it didn't sound as great as it should have. You know, you should have done this. You should have done that. You know, some of the dialogue here didn't work. You know, kind of fell flat. The joke didn't work over here, whatever. And I appreciated that. I appreciated every time somebody did that to me. I appreciated it. I never got mad. I never got bitter. I never got beside myself about any of that shit. Now, if you would have gone on the radio and done that to me, we would have had a problem. Because I'd be like, nigga, you could have came to me with that shit. Now you kind of look like you hating because you do what I do. And I don't know if this makes sense to people. Because people seem to make an excuse for this. Oh, that's just the way people are. That's just the way it is. People are just that way. When I asked about it on Facebook, people had different answers. You know, they said that, you know, it comes from slave mentality, that, you know, a lot of people have a crab in the barrel mentality, that we have this conditioning that has gone on for hundreds of years that has led us to hate one another or to be overly critical of one another. And we can make those arguments. And but I'm not going to get that deep with that. Not this episode. We'll have that discussion. But another thing that I see, especially when we're talking about music and we're talking about hip hop to be exact, is that the criticism inevitably, I know I fucked that word up, generally spills over into, and it morphs into stuff that we don't need to see. Yeah, I'm going to talk about the Cardi B and Nicki thing. It's sad. I get it. I get it. There's both camps. I get it. Some people say, you know, she lightweight took a dig at her kid, and you know, you don't talk about nobody's kid and all this stuff. Some people say she didn't say anything about her kid and all that. Either way, you know, there's some animosity and some jealousy there between two women in hip hop, two black women in hip hop. And before you hoteps get started, Cardi B is Trini and Dominican. Okay? Shut up. She's black. Okay? So before we even go there, for you dusty hoteps even get in my inbox with the dumb shit, she's a black woman. But I digress. And I go back to my original statement. We're on a whole ass planet. Hip hop is a global phenomenon. And I know what you're saying. I already know there's only room at the top for one. There can only be one, like with fucking Highlander or something. There can only be one. Really? On a planet of almost 8 billion people, there's only room enough for two women in hip hop? Are you fucking serious? There's only room enough for two men in hip hop? There's only room enough for two of anything anywhere? Is this a planet Earth or Noah's Ark? Let me know. Stop it. You got two different styles. You don't look the same. You don't really rap about the same things. There's room enough for both of you, but the world is telling you, I guess, like everybody says, either the mentality, the crab in the barrel, the conditioning or whatever says that I can't coexist with you in the same genre. Even though we're in two different lanes, I can't coexist with you. It's silly. And the shit is spilling over into the streets, y'all. People are getting killed out there because of envy and jealousy and pettiness in social media. Somebody can say something in social media and they'll be dead. Somebody can get on a radio show and say the wrong thing about another artist and they take that so personally. They're hurt so deeply that their only recourse is death. You can't even be critical about somebody, honestly critical about somebody, without running the risk of being hurt or worse. We have to look at that. No more that, oh, that's just the way it is. That's just how people are. It's the nature of the business. Blah, blah. Nah, it's not. I'm 46, man. I was around when hip-hop started. There wasn't nobody out there doing that. Kool Herc wasn't busting caps at Grandmaster Flash. The Force MDs weren't out there trying to fight the Furious Five. It wasn't like that. And if they had beef, they put it on wax. And nobody was on the radio bashing anybody. Hell, it was enough. It was just a feat to get on the radio. Now everybody's on the radio. And nobody's promoting themselves. They're taking the time to diss and talk about other people. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So no, it's not a little thing. Because we have to look at the change you want to see in the world, man. There are so many cats that I don't think should be behind a camera. A digital camera, a viewfinder, a Super 8, anything. A VHS recorder. These shouldn't be directing shit, but they are. And who am I to begrudge their success? Who am I to do that? If I'm in my lane trying to do my thing to better me and mine, I don't have time for that. I can be critical. I have that right. As not only a fan of film, a fan of music, a fan of comedy, I can be critical. But my criticism should make me an asshole. Especially if I'm talking about a peer. So, and I'm not picking on Cat because I'm a fan. I'm a huge Cat Williams fan. Hands down. Pimp Chronicles, one of my favorite stand-ups ever. Cried laughing. Bust a gut laughing. Will watch it anytime I see it. I think he's a phenomenal comedian. So I'm not a Cat Williams hater. I don't hate Cat Williams. I don't even hate the interview because he dropped some jewels in that interview. If you watch that interview, he really put down some jewels. I just had an issue with with what seemed to be a little hate there. Again, I understand what he was saying. I understand that there are 40-something comedians, female, that he felt should have the same success that Tiffany has. I get it. I know filmmakers and actors and singers. I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I know singers right now that I feel can compete on the national stage, that I feel could have a top 10 album out right now. that I feel should be acting in TV shows and movies and everything else. I get it. And I've watched them for years. And I think they're some of the most talented people on the planet. And I think that there are people who, because of social media, they got it too easy. Yeah, I said it. And we all think it. There's some rappers out there that they don't got no business behind the mic. But I can't begrudge their success. I can't. I can wish better for my friends. And in any way, any little way that I can help them, I will. But I can't begrudge somebody else's success. Because what does that make me? Am I keeping it real? Nah. I can't take that attitude. And if I'm in a position as a Cat Williams, again, if you made $24 million off the Pimp Chronicles alone, just off that appearance alone, it took your comedy special over $24 million or whatever else, got you some money, man. Hey, bro, you are in a position to create content. You're Cat fucking Williams, man. You're in a position to create content. You're in a position to make films. You're in a position to make web series. You're in a position to have podcasts and all these things that can be vehicles for other comics. And comics, I'm not dragging you into anything, but I'm on IG and I see other people on IG. I see Kevin Hart. I see Kev on stage. I see Ida Rodriguez, who I admire the hell out of, because that lady has taken her platform and turned it into something just amazing. I love it. Amanda Seals, LeVar Walker, Tony Baker. I look at all these people who have shows and who have podcasts and who have used their platform to do better for themselves. And they're not sitting around complaining about what the next woman or man has. They're just using their platform to do better. Jess Hilarious. A lot of women, oh, she ain't funny. She ain't this, she ain't that. But yo, she rode her moment. And she rode that into a TV show. And she wrote that she's going to ride that into films, and she's going to ride that in whatever. And you might not like it. You might not like the fact that she made what she's made, where she's made it. But I put it to you, brother, sister, step your game up. Again, you can be critical. But in your criticism, what are you doing to better yourself and your position? So you have to look at that. You have to ask yourself, when you have those feelings, what is the root of that feeling? What is the root of that feeling? When does your criticism in your peer group start to look like you're hating a little bit? Because it's funny that nobody says anything about these comics until they reach a certain level. And it comes with the territories. I know. I hear it all the time. Hank, you know what happens, man. When you reach the top, you always gonna have haters. You always gonna have these people talking about you and all that stuff. And it's sad, you know, that's true. And it's also sad that you don't really have anything to say about me until you think that I'm surpassing you. And you have to look at, and you also, like I said, in your criticism, you have to look at, is my criticism kind of meandering over into jealousy and envy? Because you can come up with all the conspiracy theories you want about a lot of these rappers that come up dead. But at the root of a lot of that shit is jealousy and envy. A lot of these brothers come from hoods, man, that, you know, most of us wouldn't even go into. And they made it. And they drive around nice cars, they wear jewelry, and you know, they looking good, the women are liking them, the guys want to be them. and you got the cats that are still back on the stoop watching them with envious eyes, thinking that I'm better than this dude. I rap better than this guy. And he made it past me. And that does something to people. And that's why I say you got to check yourself. You can't just say it's nothing or it's just a little thing. It's not. Because brothers is coming up dead. Because people are casting envious eyes on somebody else's success. And then you start to look at your own life and you start to hate your life. And you start to hate yourself. And then you turn that hate outward and you start to hate that person that you feel is the antithesis of your failure. And some people really rationalize in their mind, if I take this person out, I'll feel better about myself. And I'm not saying comedians are going to be out there killing each other. God forbid. But it's getting to a point where the comedy ain't funny no more. It's to the point where the shit used to be in. I know a lot of comedians. And this isn't new. I know this. I know these feelings between comedians is not new. It's never been new. Never. There's always been little digs and little strife between comedians. Little, you know, joke stealing and people thinking they not funny and all that shit. That's not new. That's never been new. But that was kept between peers. All that was usually kept between peers. Nobody was on the radio with that shit. Nobody was on, wasn't no grown ass man spilling tea on the radio. That was kept between peers. And so, like I said, I put that out to any artist. Like I said, if you have a criticism of your peer, man, go to your peer, man. If you got a criticism of me, come to me, man. I don't want to hear about it on the radio and in social media and anything else. If you got a problem with my work, come to me. Give me your thoughts, man. I'm an open-minded person. I'm not closed-minded. Anybody that's worked with me on a project knows I'm very open-minded. I listen to everything, and I'll take suggestions, and I take criticism very well. But what I don't take well is fuck shit. So if you're on the radio doing fuck shit or in the social media doing stuff like that, then we're going to have a problem. And then I'm going to question the root of what it is you're saying. And I'm not going to look at what you're saying as criticism. I'm going to look at you hating a little bit. Because for you to take something personal, which is people's art and people's livelihood, and make it a personal dig, that's something in that. There's something in that. Whether it's true or not, never question the validity of what the cat said. I never questioned the validity of what Mike Epps said. I didn't say he wasn't right. I didn't say he was wrong. But what I'm saying is, in your peer group, if you have a problem with somebody in your peer group, go to that person. Because there's something in you that you got to work out. And there's something in you that you and that other person need to work out. There's a whole bunch of people that I feel ain't funny. There's a whole bunch of people that I feel don't write that well. There's a whole bunch of people that I feel don't act that well. But for me to get on the radio and to get on TV and get anywhere else in the public platform and speak on that, there's something in me. There's something in me that I have to question. There's something in me that I gotta look at. There's something deeper there. And so we just can't keep saying it ain't nothing. And we as black entertainers, we doing this shit a lot. Ain't nobody, you ain't seeing Adam Carolla saying I'm funnier than Jim Gaffigan. You're not hearing that. And he could very well be in his apartment, his house, saying that shit right now. But he ain't on social media doing it. He ain't on the radio doing that. They probably had the discussion. Hell, they might have had a fist fight. And I could just imagine Jim Gaffigan and Adam Carolla having a fight. That's some funny shit to me. It's funny to me. But you're not, it's not spilling over into the streets. So we got to look at this thing. We got to look at this thing in every lane that we're in, whether we're doing comedy, whether we're doing music, whether we're doing acting or singing, whatever it is that we're doing. And we're looking at each other. When does that criticism in your peer group look like you hating? When does that criticism start to look like jealousy? And what form of that jealousy is it taking to where you feel like you're entitled to say something publicly about how you feel somebody came about their success, or how you feel entitled to begrudge somebody else's success? And you could very well be right. But is that for public consumption? We have to learn to appreciate where we are. Artists. I'm talking to artists. We have to learn to appreciate where we are in life. No matter where that is. A lot of us every day are getting up working 9-to-5 jobs. A lot of us have had a little modicum of success in our lives. And it was maybe fleeting, and it's probably gone, along with the money that came with it. But we have to appreciate what we have and where we are. But like I said, I don't know what you subscribe to as far as your faith. I don't know what you subscribe to as far as your, you know, as far as religion or whatever. But for me, you know, I can't begrudge where I am in my life, because me saying that to God says that I don't appreciate my life, and that I would rather talk about somebody else's success than to try to use the talents that God gave me to create my own and give him the honor in that. And I'm not telling you what to believe. That's just me. I try to show love to everybody. And again, I don't think I'm the best anything. I think I do okay as a writer. I do okay as a filmmaker. And I have a lot to learn. I have a lot. I have a long way to go to be where it is that I want to ultimately want to be as a filmmaker and as a screenwriter. And when I get there, I probably still want to do better. And so I'll be too busy doing that to sit around and begrudge somebody else's success. Again, I have those feelings. I have those criticisms. But I walk that line. And I'm competitive. I get out there and compete every day. But competition should bring out the best in you, not the worst. All right? Everyone, be good to one another. And I'll talk to you next time. Make sure you share this with your friends. And if you got any questions or criticisms of me and this podcast, hey, hit me up and we'll talk about it. Until next time, stay blurty, my friends.